Australia's Law Reform Commission is currently conducting an inquiry into surrogacy law across the country. Sarah Jefford is a family creation lawyer practicing across Australia and a former surrogate. In this episode of Weekend One-on-One, she's spoken with SBS's Deborah Grawk on the aims of the review and what surrogacy currently looks like in Australia and the world.
Can I first of all ask you about your experience of surrogacy? How did that come about? Because that just sounds utterly fascinating to me.
Yeah, I like to think it's fascinating. I lived it, so it was pretty interesting. If we go right back, it was because my partner and I needed IVF to have children, or for our first child at least. So we went through the IVF process, but we were treated for male factor infertility. So I was able to produce a lot of eggs, but we weren't falling pregnant. And eventually did fall pregnant through IVF, and my boy now is 15, so it's been a while. In that process, became kind of acutely aware of the impact of infertility and how devastating and desperate we were. And so at some point thought, well, I've got the eggs, maybe one day I'll be an egg donor. So I've got two children, two boys. After the birth of our second child, decided I would become an egg donor, and I went kind of down the Facebook rabbit hole looking at that, offered to be a donor for a few people, and then explored this idea because I think I was quite clear within weeks of the birth of my second child that I didn't want to care for any more children, but I did really enjoy pregnancy and birth. So there was almost like a grief, like I don't get to do pregnancy again, or maybe I should because that was, you know, enjoyable, but actually the end product is somebody that requires care for the rest of their life, or, you know, 20 years. So I was like, what do I do with that? And at some point came across something about the egg donors that had also been surrogates. So I thought, well, that sounds really interesting. Could I do that? And eventually went down that path, very long rabbit hole, talked to my partner about it. And then I joined all the Facebook groups and eventually met a couple here in Melbourne who eventually became the intended parents. And we went through the entire process ourselves, and I was their surrogate and delivered their little one, not so little anymore, about 7 years ago. So that was pretty amazing. But my previous kind of career history was that I was a divorce lawyer, and family violence lawyer at Legal Aid, and then at the Aboriginal Legal Service. So was working in family law, and then thought, well, I'd like to start up my own practice, and eventually kind of pivoted to family creation law. And now that's all I practice for working for myself, which is pretty amazing. That's kind of the short and sweet version of it.
I think that you did a podcast at one time about your experience of surrogacy. Mm. Is that freely available for people to look up?
So I had I produced the Australian Surrogacy podcast a few years ago now, and partly it was because after I gave birth, there were a lot of people that wanted to ask me the story of surrogacy and how did I do it and how did it feel to give a baby away and those sorts of things. And so I thought, well, what if I share my story, but also there's all these other amazing surrogates and intended parents that would probably value sharing their story as well. So I started the Australian Surrogacy podcast, and we had three seasons. It came up to 100 episodes. And what I found in that process was that the power of story sharing was, it went beyond just me and our sort of group of people that were sharing their stories, but with the community, that I guess there's power in hearing that your own story reflected from somebody else, and it's quite affirming. So being able to talk to surrogates and realize that my experience of the birth and the handover and the post-birth period was actually reflected in a lot of other women who had been surrogates. So that's quite affirming to hear that, and we hadn't heard it from anybody else. And the same for intended parents who have all sorts of reasons to do surrogacy, but hearing from each other was really powerful.
I don't know if common is the right word, but how common is surrogacy in Australia?
It's very uncommon. There's only about 130 surrogacy births in Australia each year. Now, if you think of the hundreds of thousands of babies that are born across the country, 130 is, you know, a drop in the ocean. For every child born, of course, there would be quite a few intended parents that were unable to pursue surrogacy, and ones that did try and pursue surrogacy and perhaps didn't have any success. And then we also know that there's up to about 400 children born overseas each year for Australian intended parents. So it's still very low, but it's, I guess it's becoming more common. Part of the reason that we have low uptake is because people are not aware that surrogacy is available in Australia. or they go overseas because it seems more accessible.
Why is the awareness so low of surrogacy here in Australia?
So there are prohibitions on advertising for a surrogate in most states, which makes it difficult that if you wanted to share your story on Facebook, for example, you need to be careful that you're not breaking the law in doing so. So if it becomes kind of secretive and things we're not really allowed to publish stories about, it means it's more difficult for people to talk about and there's some stigma. I noticed that when there is a story about surrogacy on social media, for example, a lot of the comments will be, oh, I didn't know that that was legal in Australia. So there's sort of a generally low level of awareness about surrogacy. And perhaps people's awareness is that they think it's that kind of Hollywood version of surrogacy that we see as a headline, whereas actually a lot of the arrangements are just sisters caring for sisters and other family members and friends that have known each other since high school doing it for somebody, that sort of thing. It's just not seen much in the media, and when it is, it's not always a good story.
So the Australian Law Reform Commission is holding an inquiry at the moment into surrogacy laws. What are some of the issues that they're looking at?
Yes, so the Australian Law Reform Commission is reviewing surrogacy laws across the country, and one of the main things that they're interested in is the barriers to domestic surrogacy here in Australia, which is really good because, like I say, we have more babies born overseas than within Australia. They're also looking at the lack of harmony between the laws. We have a patchwork of surrogacy laws across each state and territory, which make it difficult for people to navigate. And we're also looking at issues of eligibility. So, for example, in Western Australia, gay couples and single men still cannot access surrogacy in their home state, whereas the rest of Australia allows surrogacy for singles and married couples, hetero and gay couples as well. So there's a kind of, I guess, discrimination depending on where you live and a bit of a postcode lottery. And the Law Reform Commission is really interested in all of those issues and the experiences of surrogates and intended parents and people born through surrogacy and how hopefully that will inform law reform going forward.
I think one of their terms of reference is, as you say, how to reduce those barriers to domestic surrogacy arrangements, but what about overseas? What's the situation there?
A lot of Australians go overseas because they don't see it as a viable option in Australia. And there's different countries that offer surrogacy for international citizens. So, and that varies. It actually changes quite frequently because we will have a situation, for example, in India or Thailand, where Australians are engaging in surrogacy, and then that country will shut it down and say, we're not accepting intended parents from overseas anymore. So everybody kind of shifts to another destination and it goes on and on. So not all international surrogacy is equal. There are countries, for example, like the United States and Canada, who have good health systems and good frameworks involved, and other countries that are perhaps a bit more risky. But intended parents, I guess, are finding their way through a bit of a swamp of information, and somebody can run a surrogacy service or an agency that can have a very glossy website with very pretty pictures of babies. And if intended parents in Australia are looking for information, they'll come across that information over and above anything about Australian surrogacy. So it can look like a more viable and accessible option overseas. And that's, I think, why a lot of intended parents head overseas for surrogacy rather than doing it here.
One of the challenges, though, is having your legal parentage recognised in Australia. Is that one of the issues that you keep seeing?
Yes. So for a domestic surrogacy arrangement, the surrogate and her partner are the legal parents of the child at the time of the birth. The intended parents can take care of the baby, but they're not recognised as the legal parents at that stage, and they need to go through a process called a parentage order to transfer parentage from the surrogate and her partner over to the intended parents. That, I think, is one reason why a lot of intended parents head overseas, because they feel like there's a lack of legal clarity around their rights and responsibilities as parents. Surrogates in Australia also don't particularly like that. They don't like feeling like they have a responsibility for a child that they don't wish to care for. I think there's a process that we can consider to improve the situation in Australia, which is called a pre-birth order. They have them in other countries too, where a surrogate and her partner can sign off on a parentage order before the child arrives. Now, it doesn't compromise her autonomy. She still can make decisions during pregnancy and the birth, But when the baby arrives, the intended parents can take over and do all the care for the baby, and they are recognised by law as the parents of the baby with everybody's consent. So I think that's potentially a much smoother process that means that the baby gets the care that they need and everybody is really clear about their legal rights and responsibilities as well.
One of the things that I keep seeing is a prohibition on commercial surrogacy. And then there are questions around, I guess, concerns around potential surrogates being exploited, etc. Although that doesn't really take into account the agency of the potential surrogate. So there are all these competing questions and concerns. And I'm wondering, I guess, what the future is for that commercial surrogacy.
I think when we talk about compensated commercial or altruistic surrogacy, what we're really wanting to make sure is that there are safeguards to protect the surrogate and her right to autonomy, and also to protect the rights and interests of the child, and to support the parents to make decisions about their child and to care for them appropriately. And all of those safeguards can actually be the same regardless of whether the surrogate is paid. So, for example, we can still make sure that her autonomy is protected in altruistic surrogacy. We already do that with things like counselling and legal advice and psychological assessments and what we call informed consent, that she knows what she's doing when she goes forward and she can still make decisions throughout the pregnancy and the birth. When we compensate a surrogate, a lot of the discussion is about that might take away from her autonomy, that she's signing over some of her autonomy in exchange for money. I think there's a really nuanced conversation that we're having and that we need to have, that actually we can compensate a woman to carry a baby for somebody else without compromising on her autonomy and decision making, and without and also continuing those safeguards that I mentioned, and that we can actually compensate her for her time and effort and risk that she takes on when she is a surrogate without it being a payment in exchange for the baby. And we call it gestational services. So it's a payment for gestational services. And that, you know, we could use lots of terms, but we're not making a payment for her to hand over a baby or to sign off on parentage transfers. We are paying her for the time and effort and risk involved in a pregnancy and the birth, which is pretty extensive. Like, we're talking 9 months of pregnancy plus the time before and afterwards when she's preparing for pregnancy, and then after the birth when she's recovering. Currently under our Australian system, we cannot compensate a surrogate for all of that, and yet everybody else in the industry is compensated for their time and their expertise. The lawyers, counsellors, fertility doctors, everybody is paid. I think that part of the question around, are we exploiting her? Is she doing it for the money? What if we, you know, altruistic is the only way to make sure those things don't happen? I disagree with that. I think altruistic surrogacy exploits the unpaid labour of women while everybody else is paid in that situation. And we know from research done in the United States that women who are paid for surrogacy are actually motivated by altruism and empathy and a desire to care for people and help people. So you can actually have both.